I'd like to introduce our first speaker from the Baltimore area, Kim F., on patience and tolerance.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Kim, and I am an addict. When I got this topic, as the time got near, I considered going through the basic text. You know how we do, going in the back, the index, and looking up the words patience and tolerance, and having a couple quotes from the literature for you to share with my experience. But I said, nah, bitch, fuck that. Okay? All I need to talk about is my experience with patience and tolerance. And a big part of my experience with patience and tolerance comes from y'all. You know what? Some days, I am simply fucking amazed here that people like me. Here. I don't know if anybody saw me downstairs playing cards, but I'm loud. Okay? I'm aggressive. I cuss. Oh, y'all know that. Sometimes I think I know it all. You know, look, the best way to describe me is that bitch is a piece of work. Yeah. And in spite of all of that, you guys welcome me with open arms. And you love me, and you know, we have this saying, we're going to love you till you learn to love yourself. Well, I like to think that I love myself. I like to think that, but I know for certain that I'm in good hands, not with Allstate, with Narcotics Anonymous. I am not the most patient person on earth. In many areas, I'm not patient at all. I don't like to wait in line. You know, I will dope fiend some shit in a heartbeat. I ain't that girl. But how about this? I will jump the line in a minute, but don't jump me. Okay? Okay? Because see, if you jump me in the line, I'm like, look, I just need you to know I ain't that kind of girl. I don't play that. And you can jump the people behind me. But you can't jump me. I'm not good with patience in most areas. But then I thought about that. It might be one or two areas where I'm fairly good with patience. I'm 50 years old, and I still go to school. I'm 5 minutes from my doctorate degree. Look, wait a minute. Y'all, don't clap, because you ain't heard the whole story, okay? Look, I'm talking about a girl like me who maybe about 170 pounds ago worked 14th Street. Okay, that was a long time ago. 14th Street ain't even a hoe stroll anymore, is it? Yeah, well, anyway, when I was a young girl, it was. Okay, 170 pounds or so ago. Look, a girl like me who done been in prison in several states, I have done 10 years, okay? Look, a girl like me had the patience to go to school day after day after day after day, year after year after year. Look, right now I live in Baltimore. I go to Howard University. I drive. So, look, some days I ain't feeling it. Some days I just ain't fucking feeling it. Some days I drive all the way from Baltimore. I get on campus and go to my class, and that class is canceled. And I need you to know I'll be madder than a motherfucker, okay? All right? Because gas ain't cheap. And the truth of the matter is there are a few things that I would rather be doing, like somewhere playing pinochle. Now, that's one of my favorite activities. Or bidwiz. I like to sit at the card table and talk much shit. Okay, and I would much rather be doing that than wasting my time driving down 295 to get to D.C. and it ain't no class. But it worked like that sometimes, you know, and I just live with it. Because, see, the dope fiend in me say this. Now, after I done drove all the way, okay, and you ain't show up for class, okay? I know goddamn well when it's grade time, huh? Okay, tolerance and patience go both ways, okay? So I feel like that's a little bit of money in the bank for me. That's probably my main area of patience, is that I'm very tenacious as far as school goes. I believe in education. There's a couple other things I believe in too, which we're gonna talk about. I'm very, very tolerant, and I've learned that here. Every now and then I have one of these moments where I want to hang out with all my friends. And so this particular day I call on, like, oh, let's meet at Rocky Road, whatever the name of that joint is, and have hamburgers and wings. And so we did. And there's about eight of us at the table, all recovering people. And an argument ensued between two of my girlfriends because one girlfriend, and she probably in the room, I ain't gonna call her name, but she can't hold water. And she told something about somebody else. And the other girl was that they want, you know, she wanna fight. You know, but I said, look, I said, she can't, and she, this girlfriend, I love her. She has done this to me. She has told something that I didn't want told. At least I didn't want her to tell the people first. I said, look, I don't need no motherfucking secretary. I can talk for myself. I don't need a meeting planner. I don't need a go-between. I can get the message to the people myself. But in any event, she, you know, I said, look, I love this woman. And I love this woman because she has good qualities. She is, look, if I got to be back to back with a motherfucker in a fight, I wanted to be her. Okay? She has my back. Now she can't hold water. So look, so what am I, stupid? Am I gonna throw away one of the people I love most in the world because she can't hold water? No, dumb bitch. Just don't tell her shit you don't want. No! Huh? That is tolerance. That is tolerance. And that allows me, and look, my own agenda. That allows me to keep my friend, to not walk around all the time like I got rocks in my motherfucking jaw, like I'm mad and shit, and accept my friend for who she is. Tolerance. Because look, people accept me. Okay, now look, on May 15th, I am going to celebrate. Please do not clap under any circumstances. I am going to celebrate 24 years. All right. Well, look, now that you done clap, let me tell you how the day gonna go. Let me tell you how the day is gonna work out. 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to celebrate at St. Gregory's in Baltimore, okay? And the reason why I'm celebrating at 7 in the morning at St. Gregory's and not my home group is because I have a 1 o'clock appointment. After we have the anniversary meeting, then I'm going to breakfast with my friends and loved ones. And then after breakfast, some people going on their way, and then some other people and me. The girl who can't hold water, I love her. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't want to go where I gotta go if she wasn't gonna be by my side. And another one of my girlfriends, a good recovering addict, I'm gonna carry my ass down to Calvert County Courthouse. And I'm gonna walk up in that courthouse and I am gonna get sentenced to 30 days in jail. And I am going to be the happiest bitch going in Calvert County Jail, doing 30 days, only 23, for theft. Look, with 23 years and 11 months clean. 23 years and 11 months. Now look, I don't know whether it's a fluke that you're getting my story now while I'm in the process. Because most often you get this kind of story years down the line and somebody come up here and tell you they used to steal. They used to do this. Look, I do it. Okay? I do it. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Look, I have a life. I have a beautiful, beautiful 10-room house in Baltimore. I got my little old raggedy Mercedes. Love my Mercedes. Look, my friends, some of my recovering friends, they taught me this. We ain't driving nothing but Mercedes. Baby, they took me to the auction, and I got my first one. I ain't been in nothing since. Okay? Look, I love my life. I have the most wonderful network in the world. We are the motherfucking bomb. Yeah. I have a beautiful life, and I don't want to be separated from my life. I don't want to be walking in them stores taking them people's shit. But you know what? Look. It is so hard to stop. It is so hard to stop. Look. I've been stealing for a living. That's how I pay. Look, I sell bootleg movies. They in my car now, and it's parked out front. I sell cigarettes. I ain't got none. Okay? And I'm a retired shoplifter. Okay, no. Let's be accurate. I no longer steal for a living. I'm in the process of doing something different. Patience and tolerance. My friends, they are patient and they tolerate me. Look, most of my friends let a thief like me up in their house. I don't steal from my friends, though. Okay, I do stores, or did stores. I just want to keep you connected with patience and tolerance. That people tolerate me, you see, because we say things like stick with the winners and all that kind of stuff. And somebody might look at me and say, that bitch got 23 years and she's still stealing. And on her 24th anniversary, that's my, look, May 15th is my clean date. On my clean date, I'm going to jail. And they might count me as not one of the winners. But listen, I'm here to tell you this, that, honey, all that you have to do to win is rise. Each time you fall, keep the fuck coming back. And that's what I do. Look, I don't give up for shit. I'm in my process. Look, when I got my case, and I thought I was clever. No. I think I'm clever. I took great pride in what I think, being one of the baddest motherfucking boosters in Maryland. Statistics say 1 in 11 people steal. 25 million Americans steal. And they get caught every 49th time. That's what statistics say. I did the research. That's what I do. That's what I do. When I graduate, my degree is going to be in sociology. And we study people. So I look, and what made me look into it is because I wanted some help. I considered trying to find some help in that area. I went on the internet and I looked, is there Shoplifters Anonymous? And there is. But it's not one in my area. It's one in Virginia over the phone. And I might give them a shot. But I got a 12-step program here that works for anything. And one of the things that I realized about this, and I'm going to tell you, I realized this on my way down here to Ocean City. I realized this when I came on my way down here to Ocean City with my toiletry bag empty, and I filled it up when I went in the store. And I spent $1.49. And I had $200 in my pocket. And what I know is this, that the work that I gotta do is deeper than deep. Because it ain't necessarily so much addiction to the behavior. It ain't so much addiction to the behavior, because the bottom line is greed, bitch, you're greedy. You want to have your cake and eat it too. I want to have my money in my pocket. See, I don't work. I don't work. I go to school. I go to school full time. And I have had to manage my life so that I could have the time to go to school full time and be able to pay my bills. And then I had some situations in my life when school first started, when I first started on the doctoral program. I had finished the master's, I'm on the doctor's, and my mom got sick. My mom was in Philly, that's where I'm from. I've been in Baltimore about 8 years, and I was going to Philly like every other day, driving to D.C. 3 days a week. So stealing was something that worked for me. Because on the way down the highway, I can stop at a few stores, steal some shit, and sell it. And I made $60,000 a year every year on eBay. On my shit. Yeah. Every year. So I understand that. I understand it's greed. And I'm weaning myself off of my behavior. I'm in the process. I said, look, I got my case. I got a case last year in Calvert County. Look, school semester was over. I celebrated by taking a day trip down to Solomon's Island. I stopped in a couple stores, stole a little shit. Look, greed, and arrogance, thinking I'm so motherfucking slick. I walk in the store. A lot of the stores know me. They don't know me as a thief, though. They know me as Miss Felder. I shop. I'll go up in them stores and whip out my motherfucking credit card, buy a little shit, steal a lot of shit. My girlfriend said, Kim, you got to stop. She said, you can't be whipping out your credit card because that got your name on it. But I'm so good. I'm so smooth, you understand, that it's not going to be a problem. Well, it was a problem because I stole some shit one day and I made a purchase on my credit card and I went home and 6 weeks later, I'm sitting on my porch on Sunday morning, my home group members down there borrowing chairs for the meeting, and here come the cops. Here come the cops. And then the story goes, they locked me up. They gave me a felony theft because they missed this cute little handmade $300 purse plus some more shit that I took. The girl in the store didn't see it, but the next day the manager come in, she missed it, she checked the cash register, it's not there. They go look through the camera, and there they see me. Or so they say. And they realized I made a purchase, and they came and got me. And I went to court, and they gave me 18 months. And they suspended a year, do 6 months, put the handcuffs on me, and sent me to the back. And I want you to know my heart fell to the floor because I love my life. And I wasn't prepared. And I'm in school. And I asked the judge, I said, but Your Honor, I'm in school. Could you work it out? He said, it ain't supposed to be convenient. He said, it ain't supposed to be convenient. And see, I told you, I'm slick. And I think some things, and I've always thought that because I always got my foot in some good stuff, that when the bad stuff happened, I'm going to get some play. I've always thought that. And the truth of the matter is, it has always worked. It continues to work. But I don't want to feel like I felt when they put them handcuffs on me and sent me to the back without notice. And I thought I was going to be doing 6 months. And my lawyer appealed it, and I was out on appeal, and I went back to court. I went back to court last Monday, and I got in court, and I said, listen, is there anything we can do to resolve this today? Anything. I said, look, I get out of school May 15th. I go back August 15th. I can do every one of them days if they want some time. Lawyer said, I don't think you're going to have to do that much. I had all my paperwork there to document that I'm in school, that I got $20,000 next year for the next semester, and boom, boom, boom. And I ain't a dummy. And so I know that the criminal justice system doesn't necessarily want to impede somebody that's making progress. And so they gave me 30 days. And so I'm going off and do that time. And I'm battling with my demons, with my character defects, not to do what I do. And look, I wish I could just stop. I wish that it was like it was in 85 when I went to jail for check writing and I was all skitzed out on crack and I was like, Lord, take it away. And I ain't used since. And look, I say that same prayer. I say that same prayer. But the difference is this. There was no good side to crack. But the good side to stealing is stuff. It is. And that makes it much more difficult. And also being broke. Look, how about this? I ain't got a motherfucking dime here. I ain't got no money. And I used to be rolling in dough. But I ain't anymore. Listen, in 2007, I drove my car to school without oil and I killed my engine. It cost me about $6,000 to put a new engine in my car. And another, I had a utility bill for $2,000. And I got in my car on Thanksgiving night because the stores was opening at midnight. And I drove down the eastern shore of Maryland to Virginia, and I came back up the western shore, and by the time I got back to Baltimore over the weekend, I had enough shit to sell and get my engine fixed and pay my bills. And see, one of the things I had to do with Kim is I had to say to Kim, well, why can't you struggle? Why your bills always got to be paid? You can struggle like other people. And so I am. And so I'm doing some different, I am doing some different things. It's a process, little by little. Like one of the things I'm not doing anymore is the things that I sell, the things that I steal to sell, because I specialize in three particular items. I don't steal them anymore. I have not stolen them since September. I just have not. I don't sell shit on eBay anymore. I ain't doing it because I recognize this, that as long as I keep selling shit, and I still have stuff, I put a whole bunch of shit up in one lot and got rid of it, trying to get that shit out of my house. And I still got some, and I might let somebody else do something with it. But I don't want to put another item on eBay because I'm trying to get away from that. I'm trying to get in another mode. And people have said, my husband said, I lost my husband in October. My husband said, well, what you going to do? You going to have a doctorate and sell movies out the trunk of the car? You see? And I always said, because I'm a girl, I'm a planner. I always got a good plan. See, and I've been a criminal all my life. And I always said that I'm going to keep going to school. I'm going to keep going to school, and I'm going to go as long as I can go and get as much as I can get. Because when I stop doing what I do, I would like to not have to work in McDonald's. But I tell you, I'll take McDonald's right now. I'll take McDonald's. But it's a lot. It's some things that I do. I ain't selling another damn thing on eBay because I don't want to get in that mode. And I recognize this, that as long as I keep selling stuff on eBay, as long as I keep getting money like that, it's going to reduce my motivation to get a job, to go to work. And now I'm at the end. I've done all the coursework I need to do for my degree. Now all I need to do is a dissertation. And I can go get a job now and do my dissertation while I'm working. I only need to carry one class a semester and be in the writing process. So I can do something different, and I'm struggling to do something different. Some of the things that I have to change is this. And I'm going to say, I only got my big bag because I got shoes and a jacket and all of that shit coming here today. But I have to be mindful of carrying my big bags. Because I have a particular bag that I use. I got 11 of them in every color for every outfit. And if I come out the door with that bag, it's always a potential stealing day. It's always a potential stealing day. If I come out the door with that bag, so I got to leave it home. I can't carry that goddamn bag. Now, that's where I'm at now. Just trying to not carry the bag. But how about this? And I'm just sharing this because I got friends in the room. What I really need to do is throw them motherfucking bags away. Now, that's what I really need to do. Because me having them bags, okay, and saying I'm not going to carry them, okay, is just like having your fit or your pipe, but I ain't going to use. It ain't no different. It ain't no different. And it's a struggle. It is a struggle. But again, how's my time going?
You good.
Okay. But you can understand that for me being who I am and knowing that people love me. Look, I was so beaten down inside with the case and the potential to go to jail and be separated from my life for a good period of time that I just wasn't going to fight. I was just ready to submit and take whatever comes. And I wasn't putting up much of a fight. And I talked to a recovering addict called me one day and she said, "Kim, how you doing? You were on my heart. What's going on?" And I was almost in tears at that moment because I was thinking about what was happening. And I told her how I was feeling, what was going on. And she said, "Well, girl, you got to fight. You can't just go in there and roll over and let that go." She said, "You got to get letters and take people to court. And every teacher that you ever met in the hallway at Howard, you got to get a letter from them." And see, I didn't want. And I still don't, and I didn't go that far to involve my people in academia in it because, see, they ain't like us. They are not patient and tolerant. They are not accepting. I can be me in here, but I can't be me there. I have to be somebody else in the halls of Howard University, you see, because, look, when I was in my master's program, there were a couple other recovering addicts in the class. And this one fella, he always treated class like it was group. And our advisor told him, he said, you might want to be mindful. You might want to be mindful about what you say in class. Because this is not group, and these people are your colleagues. They're your colleagues, and you may find yourself after graduation seeking employment at a company, and one of your old classmates is there, and now you done told them how you used to do this, that, and the other, and you'll find you won't get that job. So you don't want to expose all of your business in class, and I hold that to my heart, and I don't do that. But this recovering addict, she encouraged me to fight, and it motivated me to do so. And patience and tolerance, and I'm talking about people tolerating me and seeing something in me, seeing a reason for me to be, and seeing something in me and thinking that you don't need to be in jail, do something different. And I was sharing it in a meeting one day, and a brother came up to me that I met when I first came to Baltimore, and he said, "Kim, I know you got a lot of people coming to court for you." He said, "But why don't you let a square like me come?" He said, "Why don't you let a square like me come?" He said, "Because there are a lot of people clean today because they know you. Because they know you." And I was awed. I was awed that somebody thought enough of me to want to go in court and do battle to keep me out of a long jail sentence. I was awed. Tolerance, in spite of who I am. You know, he saw good in me. And it made me reflect more on Kim in totality. You know, because I'm not just the baddest motherfucking booster in Maryland. No, I ain't. I am a good-ass recovering addict. I done stayed clean 23 years and 11 months one day at a time. One day at a time. Look, come hell or high water. And how about this? When I go to Calvert County Jail, trust me, when the NA meeting come in, you know who's going to be in the front seat. Hell yeah. I'm going to be in the front motherfucking seat, okay? Yeah, yeah. And look, when my 23 days is over, I'm coming home, and I'm going to do the very best I can. Now, I'm going to just close by sharing this with my good friends that are here. If you come in my house, okay, and those shelves in the middle of my bedroom, the third shelf that got all them boosting bags on it, if you take them and throw them out, I won't be mad. I won't be mad. You'll be helping me. You'll be helping me because I might not have it in me to do it myself. But I won't be mad if you do. I won't be mad because that's what we do. We help each other. And you know what? Somebody was kind of like making a little joke about it this morning at breakfast. And they said, oh, go on. Kim ain't sensitive. No, I'm not sensitive. But how about this? I'm not sensitive about it, but I'm open. I'm open to whatever you need to say to me. My sponsor, and I got to go because it's done, but my sponsor was going to come to court with me. And she said, you know, when I came back and it was plea day that they worked it out, I didn't end up going to court and needing her. But she said, you know, I hate that I'm not going to have to make that ride with you because I planned on having a talk with you on that ride. I said, well, come on and have it. I said, because I'm open. I'm open because I know it ain't in me. I know I don't have it in me. I got a lot of stuff in me, but I ain't got that in me, and I need help, and I'm open for help. You know, I used to share, I steal, and I don't need nobody to come up and say a goddamn thing to me after the meeting about it because I'm okay with it. I ain't okay with it no more.
Let's thank Kim F. from Baltimore. All right, at this time, I'm going to bring up my next speaker. And we have Pauline J. from D.C.
It's too much movement. Hi, family. I'm Pauline, and I'm an addict. Thank you, Kim. Thank you for your lead. I'm kind of like where she was at when they asked me to do this topic, patience and tolerance. And I found all these books and went to the Webster and asked people, and well, none of it working. You know, because it's about me, talking about me. You know, wow. Patience for me, you know, far as when I was using, you know, people talk about you don't have patience for this. And when they first asked me to do the topic too, I said, I don't have no patience or no tolerance for nothing. Nothing, right? And you can ask my friends. You know, but I tolerate, you know what I'm saying? But I'm getting better. A whole lot better from when I came in, because when I came to Narcotics Anonymous July 17, 1987, I had to be patient and tolerant for all the multiple years, you know. And God has molded me, you know, just to be the best person that I could be. You know, using was a job. You know, when the guy told you or the female told you, especially if you had short money, you know, wait, you know, wait, you know, what you gonna do? You know, you gonna wait? Yeah, you know, And then a lot of times you got short money, you're going to wait longer. You know, so my patience ran real thin, you know. So when I got here, I was off the chain, you know. They wanted me on medication that I would not take. You know, as the years went on, it got better. Because when I got here, I was real angry. You know, everybody had did something to me. My mother wasn't saying the right things because I was the oldest girl out of 9 kids. You know, and I remember saying to her, why do I have to take care of your kids and they yours? You know, and she said, these your sisters and brothers. I said, but they are yours. You know, man, God is just so awesome. You know, I need to say this before I really get into it. I'm kind of fooled because this time last year, my sister passed while I was in Ocean City. You know, but I need to say I thank y'all for showing up for me. You know, and trying to make it back up here this year was not easy. You know, it was not easy. So I just need to thank y'all, you know, for that. Because this program is just so awesome, you know. It allows me to do things, and when I get off track, y'all put me back on track, you know. Because y'all have more patience with me than I have with myself, you know. So when I got here, they kept saying the newcomer was the most important person in the room. And then I was the new person in the room, even though I went through a numerous amount of detox, which they wanted me to go long-term, you know. But I kept pushing on, and y'all kept being patient with any and everything that I was doing. I was bouncing off the walls, you know. I didn't know if I wanted to stay, you know. But I had some friends that were here before me, and I knew if they could get clean, so could I, you know. So I kept coming. Tyrone more nervous than me. But I kept coming back no matter what, you know. And y'all were tolerant of me. excuse me. Man, this program is just so awesome, you know. And I had been reading, you know, a little stuff, and it told me that patience is waiting, you know. But it's how you act while you're waiting. You know, and I'm like, whoa. You know, sit still. You know, just hold on. You know, it's going to get better. You know, and I had to keep hearing stuff like that over and over and over again. You know, I'm not a patient person with a telephone. You know, 2 phones, and I just lose my mind when the phones ring, you know. That's when people have patience with me because they keep calling me back, you know, no matter what. You know, man, being in this program, I wouldn't trade this program for nothing in the world. For real, I don't have nowhere else to go. And ain't nobody going to tolerate me, especially being clean. You know, they tolerated me enough, and I got tired of laughing at them damn jokes that wasn't funny. They were not funny, you know, because I had to do a lot of things during my addiction, you know, that I said I'd never do again. So I'm not going to subject myself to that feeling again, you know. So that's why I'm here, being patient and tolerant, you know, with y'all. You know, and with myself, you know, because I can take myself through a whole lot of stuff unnecessary that I don't have to, you know. So I just can't say enough about this program, you know. When I came up here, right, I was standing in the hallway, and I said, everybody was like, who doing the meeting? Who doing the meeting, right? And I wouldn't say nothing. Nothing, right? So I was like, it's a girl named Kim, right? And I hadn't even seen her, right? You know, but ain't nothing out of order. You know, God is in charge, you know, especially over my life. You know, I wouldn't have it no other way. You know, this process, these 12 and 12, is just so awesome. Because when I got here, I was telling you how fearful I was. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do things. You know, they told me to get in service. They told me to do step work, get a sponsor. They told me to keep praying because I was sick. You know, I was so sick. I was a sick individual, you know, and I needed a lot of help, you know. And I did do therapy, you know. So, you know, the doctor had to be patient with me, you know, because I was bouncing off the walls. And my drug of choice was heroin, you know. So I don't know why I was so all over the place, you know. When I smoked crack, you know, I got to keep it moving. You know, and I don't like to keep running around. I want to sit still. You know, I want to sit still. You know, I have a son that'll be 32 years old on Monday. You know, I'm talking about going to jail at 17. You know, youth life. You know, talking about being patient and tolerating them people in that system. You know, I'm talking about when he went to that jail, how he was there 7 days and they stabbed him like 14 times. I'm talking about being patient. They told me that I had to still visit the way the people visit, even though he was in the hospital. You know, don't you know I'm about to lose my mind? You know, I'm talking about being patient. You know, patient. I remember saying, if my mother died, what would I do? How would I go on? You know, how would I live? What would I do? You know, my mother passed, so I have not found it necessary to use. You know, storms have been, storms come and they go, you know, but I go through them. I can't waddle in them, you know, because it's not healthy for me, you know. Wow, losing my train of thought. You know, patience, man. Wow, being patient, man. Man. Patience, again, for me, is being willing. Being willing, you know. Being open. Letting somebody help me. Because I figured, could nobody help me? You know. I thought it was nothing that they could do for me. Y'all have helped me so much, you know, and I am so patient and so grateful for y'all. You know, I wouldn't trade this program for nothing. Nothing. I don't know, man. Being patient and tolerant of life, you know, things gonna happen. Things gonna happen. It's what I do when it happens. You know, I can't run anymore. You know, I have to deal. You know, and a lot of days it's not good for me because I don't know how. You know, I never really had to. You know, I started using early. You know, I ain't make it to the white law with Olivia in there. Thank God. You know, because I know me, I probably wouldn't have made it out of there, you know. But I just thank God for this process. thank the committee, you know, for asking an addict like me, you know, to do some patience and tolerance. With that, I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Let's thank Pauline for sharing her experience on patience and tolerance. Now, can I get your attention? This meeting isn't over with until 5:45, and if someone like to come up to share either on the topic or off the topic, you may do so. The meeting is still open. Anyone? Come on.
I'm recovering Alexander Duane. The only reason I chose to share on this was because I just spoke on a grab bag topic. I was at a meeting in spiritual grab bag, and I was asked to, and I pulled the topic of tolerance. And I don't know about anybody else, but thank you, ladies, for sharing, first of all. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm the type that after I share, I go over what I share to see if I gave a clear Narcotics Anonymous message. And this was a time where I felt I didn't. You know, spiritual topics are always hard because you pull in, you know. But someone shared from the floor who got me in touch with where I wanted to go with the tolerance. It was just tolerance. And I have a good message on tolerance. I really do. It just didn't pop in my head. But I was trying to, sometimes when God asks us to speak, it's like for a reason. When I'm asked to speak, it's for a reason. So I say, God, are you trying to get me to look at me? You know, my level of tolerance. And I've been really obsessing over that. I really have. And I've come to terms with, I haven't been very tolerant with my thinking. You can't stop a thought. You know, the thoughts come. But I understand that today, tolerance for me starts with, and you touched on it, I got to be more patient and tolerant with myself. And that's what I didn't touch on. That was what was, I've been obsessing over that I didn't touch on how tolerant that I have to be with me. When I saw through the contradiction and confusion of my life, and the sixth step, look at my character defects, that is what helped me to start being more tolerant with me. I used to think, man, I used to be very critical of people, especially like the mother of my children. I used to be very critical of when she dropped the ball. Did you do this? You forgot this. But then I started working in the sixth step. I said, damn, I'm effed up. I dropped the ball a lot. So through me, and then the self-acceptance pamphlet, love it. You know, it clearly states many of the problems that we experience in ongoing recovery stems from my inability to accept ourselves on a deep level. So these are the things that helped me to start accepting. When I started accepting myself, I began to get more tolerance for me and realize that I'm not perfect. Then that helped me to start extending more tolerance towards you all, you know. And I'm going to actually, in closing, I'm going to, you know, sit down, and I still want to go because I've written in my think. How do you stop a thought? I cannot obsess over that thought, but them thoughts be coming, man. I be sitting here, character assassinating people, and you know, and I mean, I know I'm not unique in that area, but I'm like, do some of us do that more than others? You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the answer is yes to that. You know, so I got to ask myself, where am I in my recovery? Where that's in my thoughts. Now I always act out on the thought. That's the, I have a good seventh step in my life. I got a pause. I got a filter button today. So I don't have to execute the thought. But I just don't like the thoughts of intolerance that I get a lot. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I chose to speak on that. And thanks for listening.
Thank you. Come on, sister.
Hi, family. My name is Karen J., and I'm from Washington, D.C. Patience and tolerance is something I've had to deal with for the last 10 years. I walked on a cane for the last, a crutch for the last 8 because of a split nerve, and they had to take out on the right side a lumbar 4 and 5, and they put plate screws in my back. I just started walking without my cane, without my walker, maybe about 4 months ago. Because I know my God gave me a purpose to walk like this, because I used to be the fastest walker in D.C. You turn around, I'm here, and don't turn your head too fast, and I'm gone. You leave me with it, why, when I'm a dope fiend? You go one way, I'm going the other. You know, as I've been walking through the halls of the convention, this is the first time I've been back to the convention since 2008. My clean date is April 23rd, this Thursday, and I'll be celebrating 8 years of uninterrupted clean time. I deal with chronic back and leg pains all day and all night, even when I sleep. So I have to have some type of patience to deal with when I wake up in the morning and I can't move. I have to sit there for about 5 minutes before my legs work. And when I first stand up, I got to stretch. That's the tolerance and acceptance that I've done to myself in the 41 years of addiction actively. I'm 56 years old, and Lord only knows, if I knew 41 years ago what I know today, my body would not be going through these extraordinary, pain-boggling spirits that I'm going through today. But with my God, who I have faith in totally, I was already destined before I was born to be like this, to show someone else in the program of Narcotics Anonymous that they can make it to one day at a time without picking up. I had a death in my family 7 months ago. My father, he died at home. And I carried that baggage because it was just him and I. And I thought I was the reason that he died, because he was on his asthma machine, the machine was still running, and he was back there dead. And if anybody know about the Thinking Man, has anybody seen that statue of the Thinking Man in Washington, D.C.? Well, that's how my father looked when he died. He looked like he was thinking about his death. And when I went in and seen that my father, Clarence Williams, anybody from D.C. knows him, his name was Note. I loved him very much. Today I'm learning how to be in my higher self, and I'm learning how to love me more and stay out of my lower self, because that's the hate part of me. And I'm learning not to judge, because there is only one judge, and I'm not him. I'm learning not to have smiling faces and tell no lies. They call me Big Sexy in Washington, D.C. And Big Sexy has tolerated a lot of unnecessary acts because of the way I thought I wanted to live at the age of 13 up until April 23rd, next week, 8 years ago, uninterrupted 41 years of addiction. I felt like the Israelites that was out there for 40 years wandering around in the wilderness and didn't know why God had left them out there to learn a lesson. But what he did, he gave me an extra 1 year to make sure that the lesson I learned will stick. Because I've been coming back and forth to this God-given program for 22 years. And I didn't get it until now. And my big brother over there who's watching me, JD, I love him so much. I have love in my heart today instead of hate. And when I walk, if you didn't know, I was in the A because my equilibrium is just starting to come back. You would think I was a drunk. But I'm not drunk. I'm just learning in baby steps how to walk all over again. And without the use of drugs and alcohol, it shall get better. That's a must. That's what you guys tell me. And with that, I'm going to keep coming back.
Thanks for sharing.